going on over at Fast Eddie's Bon Air?
Same old stuff, Mr. Shannon. You know nothing ever changes at Fast Eddie's.
Still got that huge peel and eat shrimp?
Yes, sir. I'm still going down and getting them every year.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean you're going down and getting them? Are you telling me that you go to the bottom of the ocean to get those things?
No, Mr. Shannon.
Oh, I thought you meant like a snorkel and a net.
Well, that'd be one heck of a snorkel and a net.
Yeah, you'd have to make Jack Cousteau and several other mermaids very jealous.
I don't know about any mermaids or Jack Cousteau.
Well, that's for sure.
But the answer to your question is it's all the same. And we're having a ball at Fast Eddie's, just like I'm having a ball doing this silly commercial.
So, folks, if you're 21 and in the mood, head over the Clark Bridge to Fast Eddie's Bon Air in Alton, Illinois. Just check out FastEddiesBonAir.com.
You've heard me talk about Window World for at least 15 years. You've heard me talk about how great of a price they are, the original $189 window guys. You've heard me talk about how great the windows are. They come with a lifetime warranty that covers all the parts, glass breakage, as well as labor. You also heard me talk about Window World when it comes to customer satisfaction. Well, now they've just been ranked Window World highest in customer satisfaction with windows and patio doors in a J.D. Power study. So you have independent verification that Window World is the best. So this spring, if you're looking for windows or replacement doors or siding, it's Window World Windows, 314-993-1800. St. Louis company through and through, and we've watched them grow throughout the years, but that same commitment to customer service is still there. 314-993-1800. That's 314-993-1800. Or, of course, always online at windowworld.com.
Do you have Clostridium difficile infection, also known as C. diff? Doctors are conducting a clinical research study of an investigational drug to see if it helps prevent recurring episodes of C. diff. To qualify, you must be 18 or older, have C. diff for the first time, and be taking or have taken the antibiotic metronidazole or vancomycin for 10 to 14 days. All study visits, tests, and study drug will be provided at no cost, and reimbursement for time and travel may be provided. To learn more, contact Sundance Clinical Research at 314-567-3377. 314-567-3377. That's 314-567-3377.
This weekend, Sports Sunday, will be broadcasting live from the 360 Rooftop Bar high atop the Hilton at the ballpark from 6 until 8. Why? Well, it's opening day for the Cardinals.
Play ball!
Hey, it's Brendan Weese from the Big Sports Show. 360 offers a bird's eye view of Busch Stadium with a cocktail in hand. It's a perfect perch to take in our Redbirds. So join us at the 360 Rooftop Bar high atop the Hilton at the ballpark for the opening day broadcast Sunday, 6 until 8 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hurry into Buffalo Wild Wings for happy hour, Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., and late night happy hour, 9 p.m. to close. Draft beer start at just $2. Wings, beer, sports.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Brought to you by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers, proud sponsor of the St. Louis Football Club. For the best selection and price on quality name brand tires, and for expert professional automotive service, make your first choice Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for details.
There you go, and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to in shape with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'd be rich as Rockefeller. gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Here on the Big 550 KTRS, I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And joined, of course, by Ian Geis and Dan Strauss, who are here 100% of the time and give 20% of the effort.
Yes.
Yes.
It all works out mathematically.
Oh, heck yeah.
Coming up on the show today, comedy legend Carl Reiner returns for... I've lost track of how many years in a row he's done the show.
Oh, man.
This might be his 15th time on the air with me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if he's on with me, that means he has a new book out, and sure enough, he does. It's called Carl Reiner, Now You're 94. And he still writes. I think he sits down at his computer every day and writes things, which is remarkable for a guy whose career started in the 1950s on your show of shows. And so I always look forward to talking to him. He'll be on with us here in about 15, 20 minutes or so. Also today, kind of a moment in radio history today, this afternoon, Tim Weiland will do the final airborne traffic reports in St. Louis radio history.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, are you at the hangar now?
I'm right here.
I know you're actually a little bit emotional about this, aren't you?
Yeah. I have been all day.
what year did we first start getting planes and then helicopters carrying traffic reporters around in St. Louis?
Well, in St. Louis, it started, I believe, in 1965. And
wow.
believe it or not, guys, it started on 550 KSD radio.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was Officer Don Miller. He was the first one, and they started with helicopters. And actually, helicopters went all the way up until just 7 years ago is when the helicopters left, and they started with the airplanes because they were much, much cheaper.
And how many years have you been doing it?
I have been doing traffic. This is, I'm into 1 month of my 13th year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a ride.
Perhaps for the first thing we need to explain is Tim is not losing his job.
Please. I made a post on Facebook, and I've gotten tons of replies, and it does seem like people think that I'm going away, and I'm not. I'm just going, I said to somebody else, same bat time, same bat station, I'm just going to go to the bat cave.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm staying with KTRS. I'm going to get to do everything I've done with McGraw, everything I've done with the Large Morning Show, and you tell them what I'm going to start doing next week.
You're going to actually come in here and be part of our Friday afternoon crew.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Which he's done in the past.
Did we all discuss this?
Yeah, wait, I don't remember that.
Yeah, we never discussed all this.
They're under the impression it's a democracy. Which is amazing because they've worked with Frank for over 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
When has the show ever been a democracy?
No, never. You're right.
Well, at least we have those fake discussions on the air where it's
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, I mean, I could have done like Frank Wood, which ask you guys what you think and then just make the decision myself anyway.
Yeah.
But Tim's been a longtime member of the show, and I'm happy to have him coming in here to be part of it in the studios. So now, do we need to explain what's really happening here? There's kind of some inside radio stuff going on, which has to do with other companies.
Yeah.
And do you want to explain part of that?
Why not? It's nothing bad.
Right.
This is a good thing.
But it's someone else's fault. It's the other AM station's fault. It's all their fault. We blame them.
It's the other AM station's parent company's fault. All right.
No, so it's the other station's fault.
So here's how it works. There's a company that I work for. It's called Total Traffic Weather Network. And we are hired by them. It used to be Metro Networks, and then Total Traffic bought them out. And we get contracted to the radio stations. And I was lucky enough to get this job with KTRS after Paul Ford left.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got this. So CBS had a nationwide, they had a 10-year contract with Metro Network / Total Traffic. Their contract is up
today.
On on today. Yeah. Their contract is up today. So we had we shared an airplane. That's not a secret.
And when he says we, you know, when he talks about CBS, that would be KMOX he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And
right.
they have Captain Roger Brand, who's been he's been in the air even longer than you have,
right? All right. And I'll go back to that in 1 second,
okay.
Because that's interesting about Roger, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But,
okay.
Yeah, so 5 months ago, they decided to go with a different traffic company that does not provide broadcasters. They provide a service on the computer, but they do not provide broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
So it took them for 5 months. They decided, well, we're going to start our own traffic department. And so Roger will stay with KMOX, CBS, and I got to stay with Total Traffic Networks.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, budget. Obviously, budget. We shared an airplane and cost for two airplanes. And, you know, with losing a contract and just figuring out for one radio station, you know, let's cut the budget. Now we've got technology and cameras and things like that, and we can do traffic on the ground.
Right.
So that is the business part of it.
And what's interesting to me about it, I mean, I'm not in your position, so I don't know all the technology that's available. But now with gateway guide cameras, you know, there weren't cameras certainly in 65 when airborne traffic started, but I don't think they were even around in 95 or 2005.
Oh, no.
When you first started doing this. And now the technology and the information is so readily available to you that there have been times when you couldn't fly for weather reasons, and yet you could sit in the hangar or sometimes come in here and look at a computer screen and gather pretty much the deal of what was going on with traffic, right?
Right. And then there are pros and cons. I am, you know, I'll go to my grave saying I think airborne traffic is needed, but there are drawbacks to it because, of course, you can only be in one area and see, you know, between one report and the other report. It takes time to get somewhere. Overall, when I'm looking, we use TrafficLAN, TrafficNet, Gateway Guide. We have scanners, you know, police scanners, fire scanners, and that, so we can hear pretty much everything. When I'm sitting here at the desk and I look at the sensors of the highways, I get a much better overall view of everything in St. Louis, St. Charles County, and in the metro area.
Mm-hmm.
In the airplane, though, I get to see things that we haven't heard about, no one's told us about, information is wrong, you know, so there are advantages to it, but in the overall scheme of things, if you want to know generalities in that, I get to see more here at a computer screen than I do in the airplane.
Okay, now let's talk about you personally and your feelings for this job, because you have a job that only a few people have ever had,
right,
which is flying over St. Louis every morning and every afternoon for a dozen years. That's a unique perspective that I've never had. I don't know what that's like. So tell us.
It's pretty awesome. And I do want to go back to the thing with Roger. When my brother was a helicopter pilot for 43 years, and he flew for the police and for Arch Medical. Part-time, he would fly for the company that was flying Foster helicopters, that was flying Don Miller. And my brother came to me and said, Officer Don Miller is going to be retiring in a year. You ought to think about maybe. So I started going up in the helicopter a couple times a week, taking a tape deck with me and recording. And I talked to Mr. Bob Hyland several times about the job and that. Roger had been working with the FM station over with KMOX, the CBS FM station. I don't even remember what the call letters were on that. But Roger, when they needed somebody, Roger was there, and boom, Roger got it.
Yep.
So I maybe could have had that job, but Roger was available, and he got it, and that's
okay.
So that's what happened. As far as flying, there is nothing like it. It's the love. I've been broadcasting now for 41 years, and then to be able to go flying, it was just awesome. You see things nobody else gets to see: daily sunrises, daily sunsets. You know, all sorts of stuff. I mean, the floods that were going on, and it was remarkable. It was a dream come true, you know?
Yep.
It was a dream job. The dream's gone, the job is still here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, it just was awesome, and it is very emotional because, you know, It costs money to fly. I'm not a pilot. I don't pretend to be a pilot, never have, but I love the flying part of it, but that's going away. So
now, I happen to know, because we've been on the air together for a long time, I happen to know that there were certain days that you did not like this job. I'm thinking particularly of, oh, I don't know, any February morning where it was 14 degrees outside. Because the cabin of the airplane you were in wasn't, well, let's say it wasn't well heated.
No. And I ended up wearing a snowsuit. And, you know, we get masking tape or duct tape to cover up vents and things like that. And, yeah, it was cold. And the worst part of it is also, when you're in the helicopter and it's a windy, a windy day, the helicopter takes the bounces a little different. It's more of a sway. But boy, in that airplane, it takes the bounces, and that's not fun. I did not like flying when it was, you know, really turbulent.
Yeah, maybe I won't have a big meal for lunch today.
Yeah, you know.
So just have a snack along the way, because what goes down may come up.
And just to let somebody know a little bit about my first week of flying in the helicopter. So it takes a little while for you to get used to it, you know. First week in the helicopter, maybe it was a second week, but one day the wind was so bad, but we went up and I started feeling really bad. And they wanted to know, do you want to go back? And I said, no, I'll make it. So I made it that entire day. The next day, the winds were even worse. And my pilot was Bill Huska, who flew Channel 5. And so we went up again, and we got in the same area, out by 270 and 40, and they said, boy, you don't look good. Let's go on in. And I go, no, I'll make it. Well, we got downtown, and I hear Paul Ford look over to me, and he goes, Bill, I don't think Tim looks too good, and I'm holding the seat, and I am crunching my teeth so I wouldn't get sick. So they dropped me off at the hangar, and I waited till they start taking off, and I crawled over to a ditch, and that happened. Well, they saw me, and Bill Huska named me Captain Erpy. So that's
and Paul
that's
Ford
who
did,
I am now.
Paul Ford did aerial reports of Tim losing lunch right there in the ditch.
Yeah.
You may want to stay away from that ditch near downtown airport. Parks is going to be a mess for a while.
Paul Ford went on to become a captain, too, I understand.
Yeah, really. So anyway, after I do this report here in a minute, we're going to go flying, and that's going to be it.
Yeah.
Monday, I will be doing traffic still for KTRS with McGraw, Frank in the afternoon, you with on Friday, and I'll still have a job.
All right, great.
Well, yay!
I'll tell you what, I'm glad to hear that you're still employed, and I'm glad to hear that you're still going to be doing this, and look forward to having you in here with me on Friday afternoons. And I'll tell you what, since we have to break anyway for Carl Reiner coming up in a few minutes, why don't you tell us what's going on the roads right now?
I can do that. All right. Looking at the sensor map, that's what I'm looking at right now. I'm seeing that westbound Highway 40 already is jammed up now from approaching Kings Highway through McCausland. You're going to be heavy again, Timberlake Manor out through Boone's Crossing. On southbound 270, a little bit heavy from Olive down through Highway 40. A little bit slow again from Manchester through Doherty Ferry. Eastbound 40 downtown, your heavy Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. Looks like we may have an incident on southbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and 55 because we got an unusual backup there. This traffic report is brought to you by Mattress Firm. Mattress Firm announces a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get savings of a lifetime, like up to 70% off famous name-brand mattresses, only at Mattress Firm. I'm Tim Weiland. That's your Jack Schmidt Ford Lincoln of Collinsville Traffic Report.
You're listening to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon with Frank Opinion and the gang, weekdays from 3 to 6. This is Larry Connors inviting you to join me for Larry Connors USA, 9 to midnight, Monday through Friday, right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Trial lawyers continue their attacks on Missouri companies, scaring off new investment and jobs. For years, Missouri's legal landscape has tilted in favor of the trial lawyers, with their lobbyists and their money, as they've conspired to gain more and more control over our legal system. Today, St. Louis is called the number one judicial hellhole. We should be embarrassed if we let the trial lawyers continue to exploit Missouri's one-sided legal system. It's an outrage. It's wrong, and it hurts Missouri families. Picking the pockets of companies and working families and driving employers and jobs out of our state? Missouri needs to be the show-me state, not the shakedown state. We need to take away the power of the trial lawyers and their special interest cronies. Call 573-751-2000 today. Tell your legislators they need to reform our legal system and make us proud of Missouri again. Paid for by Missouri Rising.
Hear that? The birds are chirping. The flowers are blooming. The trees are green. It's spring! The time of year to put your feet up and enjoy the outdoors in your yard. But on what? On that old rickety weathered patio furniture? Instead, head to Suburban Leisure Center to take advantage of tremendous savings on new patio sets. Suburban Leisure Center has a great selection of everything you'd need to have yourself a mini resort in your yard with patio furniture from all the top brands, plus umbrellas and just about everything you'd need that will make you go on the patio, and a tremendous savings. And because you can actually sit on the furniture and feel the quality at Suburban Leisure Center, it's a lot better than ordering on the internet and hoping it looks like what you saw online.
Sure, this is it. Gee, it looks a lot smaller and lighter.
Isn't it time to replace that old weathered outdoor furniture you've put up with for years?
What are you waiting for?
With Suburban Leisure Center's unmatched selection and prices, you'll get what you need for less. Suburban Leisure Center is on Olive just a mile west of 141, the place with a big red chair.
Online at SuburbanLeisureCenter.com.
Attention, this is an investor notice. Are you interested in making some extra cash buying real estate tax liens? Then listen to this. The Government Tax Lien Network is offering a free tax lien kit, which contains two DVDs and a step-by-step report that will show you how to earn guaranteed returns between 15 and 35% yearly, which is completely secured by the government. They'll even show you how to do this inside your own retirement accounts. So if you're looking to become a real estate investor without risk, then call 1-800-614-0789 now to get your free tax lien kit. Then get ready to buy tax liens for pennies on the dollar and buy houses for as low as $500, all from your home with little or no money, working only 5 to 10 hours per week. Call 800-614-0789 right now to get your free tax lien kit plus two free tickets to a live training event, which includes a free meal, coming to the St. Louis area. Call 800-614-0789. That's 800-614-0789 for your free tax lien kit now. Individual results may vary.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in St. Louis? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the St. Louis area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. St. Louis is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-886-9500. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-886-9500. That's 1-800-886-9500.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable.
It smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
It's hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
For over 50 years, this guy has been and still is a legendary St. Louis sports personality. He's Jay Randolph Sr. And on Thursday, April 6th, you're invited to join KTRS as we present an evening with Jay Randolph and friends at the Playhouse in Westport Plaza. This will be an evening full of stories, laughs, and tributes from the likes of Ron Jacobert, Jim Holgreave, Tom O'Toole, Jeff Smith, Bill McDermott, Jay Randolph Jr., and as Master of Ceremonies, John Carney. This 21 and over event starts at 6 p.m. with a cocktail hour that includes drinks and appetizers before heading into the Playhouse at 7 for the event. Tickets are $50 and include the cocktail hour and admission. Join the big 550 KTRS on Thursday, April 6th as we salute Jay Randolph Sr., presented by Triad Bank and Idner Architects. Sponsored by Taco Bell, Rib City, and Del Mar Gardens. Get your tickets at the KTRS studios in Westport Plaza or at MetroTix.
This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. And as the Beatles sing When I'm 64 in the background, we have a gentleman here who's 30 years beyond that and still creating new content. And that means I get to talk to him. This has become an annual event because he writes a new book every year. Comedy legend Carl Reiner is back on the phone today. Hi, Carl. How are you?
Hi. Am I coming in clearly? I'm speaking to a box. I can put it to my ear if I'm not getting clear to you.
You sound great. As long as we can hear you and you can hear us, we can have the conversation. Okay, good. The book is called Carl Reiner, Now You're 94, and unfortunately, you waited so long to publish it. The title is moot now, Carl, because you just turned 95.
Yes, I know.
Happy birthday.
It was published a few days before I turned 95, so it's still valid. No, it was a labor of love, and I really enjoyed doing it.
This is a graphic diary where you literally take your readers through your day, starting from your morning exercises, and that's where the graphic part comes, because that's where we get to see Carl Reiner in his underwear.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, somebody just reminded me that I don't know if you get Tavis Smiley. It's on PBS.
Yes.
You get him?
Yes.
Oh, because my son Rob and I were on his show last week, and we were plugging the fact that both of us, father and son, have been the first father and son to have their handprints at Grauman's Chinese.
Wow.
Together next week. Anyway, so we were talking to him, and I was saying that the book, and this is true, is it's a public service, and I'll tell you why. I would about a week, 2 weeks ago, I was going on the Conan O'Brien show, maybe 3 weeks ago,
yep.
And I was coming down the stairs for breakfast, and I tripped, and I fell down a flight of stairs, landed on my back, and popped right up and went to breakfast. Nothing happened to me, and it's really because the first five pages of the book will explain it. When I was about, 30 or so, I slipped on an icy stairway in my house in the Bronx, and I went to a therapist, and he said, if you do what I'm about to tell you for the rest of your life, you're going to be fine. He says, do not get out of bed until you do the following 10 stretches. I think they're 8 or 10. And that's what I do every morning before getting up, and they're in the book. Matter of fact, to sell the book, we had placards
billboards and
the big billboards,
yeah,
billboards with showing me doing the stretches. And I'm not kidding, if you do those stretches, don't get out of bed. They said if you ever get out of bed, you don't go back to doing the stretches. And I've been doing it for 50 years, which enabled me to fall down flight of steps with impunity.
Now, that's amazing, and I'm really glad you weren't hurt. But I'm curious, you worked with some very physical comedians, Dick Van Dyke and Steve Martin and others. But in all the work that you did in front of the camera, did you ever do pratfalls?
No, but I was a very good jumper. I could jump a lot. My main thing was, I wasn't a dancer, but I had a wild, every time I came on the Carson show or any show where I was plugging something, when they introduced me before coming out, I did a wild dance, a crazy dance, and I'm a jumper, not a dancer.
Yeah, I kind of remember some of those that you used to do when you were on with Johnny.
Yes.
Since the last time we talked, Carl, we've had the unfortunate news of the death of Mary Tyler Moore, who...
No, one of the saddest things.
Yeah.
He had a great life, and she also informed the women's movement almost single-handedly with that show she had after she left us. But the sad thing is that I always felt sad for her. She was she never showed it, but her early background, well, she once told me that, she came from a mother and father who paid no attention to her. Her mother was an alcoholic and died of alcoholism. And her father was one of these taciturn, quiet men who never spoke with her. As a matter of fact, she said, I never forgot this. She said, I got one comment from him when I turned 16 and I went to my prom graduation in high school. And she said, he looked at me and he said, Mary, you look very handsome. That's the only, and then of course she married badly the first time. It was a marriage that didn't work. She had a child, just so tragic, who was playing with a rifle, and he accidentally killed himself sitting on a couch.
Wow.
So that's the beginning of her career. And the fact that she pulled herself together, because she was a very strong person internally, amazing as she fought back from all the diversity. I'll never forget, you know, I've talked about this a number of times. When I wrote the show, called the Head of the Family, after I finished the show of shows in 1950, I was being offered situation comedies. The review format died until Carol Burnett resurrected it 10 years later.
Yep.
But the review format was dead, and I was being offered situation comedies. And my wife said, why don't you write one? Because they weren't good, the ones I was being offered. And I wrote a thing called Head of the Family. I did a pilot of it with Sylvia Miles and a couple of very wonderful actors. Come on, I'm forgetting those.
Morty Gunty was one of them.
Morty Gunty, but the woman who played the lead was so beautiful and sweet. I lost her name. It'll come to me.
Okay.
In my book someplace. Barbara, no, not Barbara Delgetti. Oh.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get older.
I understand. So you did that show, and then...
So I had written 13 episodes because I wanted to have a Bible for other writers after, you know, I wasn't going to be alone for the whole series. And it didn't work, and I left it, and I started doing movies. I did a Doris Day movie. And my agent and Sheldon Leonard's, we had a mutual agent, and my agent was very upset that there was gold laying on his desk in his 13 scripts. And Sheldon called me in, and he said he loved the scripts. And I said, Sheldon, I'm sorry, but I don't want to fail with the same material twice. And he said to me, and this is a fairly good impression, he said, you won't fail, Carl. We'll get a better actor to play you. And he suggested Dick Van Dyke. I went to New York and saw him in Bye Bye Birdie with Gina Rivera. Man could do anything. I really realized that he, at that point, he was, to me, the most talented human being I've ever seen.
Yep.
And then, but I the problem was finding the part to play, the girl to play Laura. And I saw 35 different girls, and this is a tribute to her. She walked in one day, Mary Tyler Moore did, not wanting to audition because she had failed two or three times that week at other auditions. She was sort of recalcitrant, and she stood in the doorway. I gave her a page to read, and she read it, and I stopped her immediately. I heard a ping, that's the way I described it, in her voice, and I said, I remember telling Sheldon, I've seen 35 girls. I don't know who I'm looking for. He said, you'll know when you find her. And that moment, I looked at those eyes, the smile, the lips, and that beautiful hair, and those gorgeous legs, and I said to myself, I found her. And I made my hand into a claw, the kind that you see at the, you know, that pull candy out of... machines, you know,
and an arcade.
An arcade, right. Thank you for the arcade. I can always forget that.
You're welcome.
And I walked across the room with my hand, clawed hand, grabbed the top of her head and said, come with me, young lady. She thought I was going to accost her. And I walked her down the hall to Sheldon. I said, you're right, Sheldon. I found her.
Yeah.
Hey, Carl, was the other woman that you were thinking of, trying to think of, Barbara Britton?
Barbara Britton, yes. She was so lovely, but I wasn't. That was fair. I was okay.
Yeah. Carl, you mentioned a couple of projects that you did during the Dick Van Dyke years. I after Robert Osborne, the legendary host of Turner Classic Movies, died a couple of weekends ago, they did a whole weekend of tributes to him, and they showed interviews that he had done with a bunch of people, and one of them was with the director Norman Jewison, who he made The Cincinnati Kid and Fiddler on the Roof and about 10 fantastic historical movies. He also directed a movie that you wrote, which you alluded to, called The Thrill of It All, with Doris Day. I looked it up. That was in 1963. How did you do that in the middle of doing the Dick Van Dyke Show?
I just did it. And, you have the 24 hours a day, and you can, if you're very solicitous of your time, you can do anything. No, that was just a labor of love, because it had been started, and then I think I worked with Larry Gelbart on it, didn't I? I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, and. Yeah, so that was one of those lovely things that, and I think I played a small part in that. I think I played a couple of roles. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that was directed by Jewison, and also on that Robert Osborne weekend, I saw an interview he did with Alan Arkin. Well, of course, you know, because he starred in your Broadway play, Enter Laughing, and which turned into a movie, which Arkin, by the way, was not in. I was surprised about that.
Well, the surprise is, first of all, Arkin won a Tony Award for playing Enter Laughing. But when we did the movie, the boy in Enter Laughing is supposed to be 17 or 18 years old, and he was about 22 or 3 at the time, but by the time we did the movie, he was 32.
Oh.
On a screen, you would see he was not 17.
Yeah, but Arkin also talked about the movie that you and he co-starred in.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the... Well, first of all, Arkin, I think, is one of the great actors we've ever had. There was a thing called... he played a mute in it. One of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. I think it was his first movie.
Mm-hmm.
But his the Russians Are Coming is what that was the first and only time I ever played a starring part in a movie. And I remember Norman Jewison came to my house and said, he has a part he'd like me to do in the movie. And I was working the very end of the Van Dyke Show era, and I said, and he told me what it was. He says, it's this Russian. And I said, no, I said, on the shows I did so much double talk Russian and all that kind of, I don't feel like I'd be up to that. And he came back and he said, how about playing the lead opposite Eva Marie Saint? That, I said, oh, I played a lead? Certainly opposite that woman who played with Marlon Brando and Gregory Peck. I said, absolutely. And that afforded me one of the most exciting times I've had in my life.
Alan Arkin said that working with Norman Jewison and you on that movie was the best time he ever had on any movie.
That's what I said, too. Norman is just the sweetest human being ever, and so daring. He used to make shots. He'd go up poles with a camera all by himself to see if he can find a shot on top of a 100-foot pole.
Mm-hmm.
He looked danger in the eye all the time.
That movie came out in 1966 when we were seriously in the midst of the Cold War with Russia. Do you think that affected Americans?
No, something I absolutely do, because he took that movie to Russia and played it, screened it for them, and it was very well received there. And he has gotten acclaim, Norman did, for sort of tamping down the war between the feelings between our two countries. They said he eased the tensions, and I think he did.
Yeah, I think what it did was it showed Americans Russians can be idiots too.
Right.
And vice versa. Exactly. It showed Russians, look, Americans can be idiots.
Right.
While we're talking about movies, you and I have had so many conversations through the years, and I went back through a couple of them today, and I realized I have never asked you anything about the movie Oh God, which you directed, and which starred George Burns and John Denver and Terry Garr.
Right.
How did you cast them?
Well, first of all, the casting of George Burns was absolutely perfect. When somebody suggested him, I said, that's the only man who can play it. When you think about his show, the Burns and Allen show, he always started the show outside of the house and sort of prophesied what was going to happen when he got in there.
Yep.
He sort of had an overview of the world. I said, that's perfect. And when they said, who's to play every man? And when the word John Denver came up, who, by the way, never acted in his life, but is such a real person. When I heard him sing those songs, Annie, and I saw him talking, the first day I met him, I said, this is every man. This is every man.
So how was that, working with a longtime show business veteran like George Burns and an absolute neophyte in John Denver?
Well, John Denver was, two things were, John Denver was absolutely amazing. You know, a few times I had to change some dialogue, and a good paragraph and a half, we rewrote, and I said, John, is this what I'd like you to say? And they take it to your dressing room and work on it. He said, no, just tell it to me. I told it to him. Let's go for it. Without even rehearsing, he did the lines absolutely perfect. He had one of these memories that was incredible. I never forgot that. And George Burns, on the other hand, too. One day we changed some scene that we're going to do, a different scene that day. I said, George, we're not going to do a scene. We decided, so you better look at what we're going to do. He says, I can do any scene. I said, why? He said, I learned the whole show. He learned the whole movie before he ever stepped foot on stage.
He had memorized the entire script, even the parts he wasn't in?
And by the way, can I say some dirty things on the air?
Not really.
Okay, but you can leap this, can't you?
Yeah, just substitute other words.
Know, I told this on, as a matter of fact, I think on the Tavis Smiley show I told it. So yeah, I'm going to tell it to you, and it's something that George Burns said to me.
All right, hold on. Ian, get your finger over the button.
All right, I'm ready.
just in case. Go ahead.
I said to him, the last day of shooting, I went to say goodbye to him. I went to his trailer, and I said, George, you're 80 years old. I'm 60. What do I have to look forward to sexually when I get to be your age? I always see you walking around with a couple of women going to nightclubs. And he said to me, rolling a cigar in his mouth, he took it out, and he says, Carl, did you ever try to put a oyster in a slot machine? There it is. That's the equation. You're laughing.
Yeah.
My equation for saying things that are a little off color, if it's got to be twice as funny as it is delicious.
that is one of the greatest lines I've ever heard. man. That is wonderful.
Worth the price of admission.
Before I let... take your finger off the button now, Ian. He didn't have to push it. Before I let you go here, in your 7 decades in show business, I'm fairly sure that if you didn't meet all of them, you met most of the presidents of the United States.
I did.
And I'm curious if any of them ever invited you and your late wife, Estelle, to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom.
Oh, yes, of course. When I got the Mark Twain Prize, I got it at the Kennedy Center, Clinton was our president then,
uh-huh.
And he called over and invited me to come to the White House. He wasn't there. He didn't present me, but he wanted a picture of me getting the Mark Twain Award and him handing it to me. It was a sort of a photo op.
Yep.
And so I was very happy. My wife and I went there, and we had the, you know, when they said that, first of all, I learned something about Clinton that everybody, when he said, I feel your pain.
Yep.
Well, my brother, when I got the Twain Award, my brother, who was really on his way to go, he had really, he was in failure, but he came from Atlanta, Georgia, with a catheter in him, with a nurse, because my tribute was to him, because I was an actor because he's the one who decided that I should be an actor. He gave me a little clipping from the newspaper that said free acting classes by the WPA, Works Progress Administration, that Roosevelt instituted. And that's how I became an actor. When I was 17, I got free acting classes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so now their president is, my whole family was there, and President Clinton met with them. He invited them all to the White House. Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's a picture in the book, I think.
Yep, there is.
Yeah, and so, but this is what really got to me. When I told him my brother was in 11 major battles in World War II, became very interested. It was that he had just come back from the D-Day celebration, a memorial that was in France.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat on the end of a chair to get to my brother's level, who was sitting in a wheelchair, and he said, he told him, he said, do you get a chance to go there? He said, no. He said, well, I went there with a friend of mine whose brothers fought in that battle. And he said, you know, how he used to say, I feel your pain.
Mm-hmm.
He started to talk to Charlie, and he said, my friend, who pointed over to where there were some trees, he said, you see that group of trees there? He says, that's where I saw my brother, one brother blown up by a mortar shell. And then he pointed to another, he says, that field over there, I saw my other brother get blown up.
Mm.
And as Clinton is telling this, he's tearing, he's crying, he pulled out his handkerchief. He started, and I said, that's for real.
Yeah.
He didn't talk to my brother for a long time. And then, you know, he likes to talk, and that night he invited us, Stella and I, my wife, to sleep at the White House. But before we did, we went to the kitchen looking for something to eat. And there was nothing there but some big old birthday cake, a large one. And we sat at 12 o'clock for an hour just chatting away about the world and entertainment and politics and eating the cake.
Wow.
And then he invited us to, and we slept in the Lincoln bedroom. I could not believe it.
That's fantastic. Just one of the amazing stories from the amazing life of Carl Reiner, who has a new book out called Now You're 94. It's a graphic diary. It's available only from this website, randomcontent.com. And, of course, we'll put a link to it on both our Facebook page and on my website, harrisonline.com.
And, by the way, if they want it personally autographed to them, I will do that if they just tell me who and what their name is.
That's great. Carl, I'm all out of time, but it's a pleasure talking to you again, and I look forward to next year with the new book.
Hey, the new book is just about to be printed. It's called Busy to Die.
Oh.
And there's a children's book coming out. You say God bless you for sneezing and farting.
We'll talk about all of that next time. The legendary Carl Reiner here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS in St. Louis. Thank you.